Jeremiah chapter 10, we are going to declare the glory of the Lord from a portion we all know very well. We start from verse 6, and we read all the way to verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 10, from verse 6 to verse 16. From the New American Standard, and we start from verse 6, 1 to let's go.
There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due, for among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of a craftsman, and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God, He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from His storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
Please, I want you to notice these scriptures. He said, in the time of their punishment, they will perish. Every false god has a time. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Everyone. There is none that doesn't have the time of his judgment. God keeps them there for certain reasons, which I don't want to discuss. But everyone has a time of judgment. But you know what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ will last forever.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
The knowledge of Jesus Christ will last forever.
Amen.
Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise again. We worship you. Thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for gathering us, your children, you know, at your table, at your feet, to learn from you, to be fed of your spirit, to be built up into the, you know, image of Christ Jesus. We receive from you insights and understanding this morning in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare that
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. His word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good.
All
right, let's take our seats and get into the teaching of the word for this morning. All right, I greet everybody again this morning. You're welcome to Kingdom Word Ministries, Saturday morning, global service, thank you. So it's our global teaching service. So wherever you are joining us from, we welcome you. We are teaching from Nigeria, the epicenter of what God is doing on the earth. The Lord is good. Every nation was created for a purpose. Yes. Everything was created to manifest a portion of God's glory. Don't ever forget it. You, being one of those things created for his glory. Now, sometimes people look as if we're supposed to go and, you know, glorify God. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. It's not with mouth. Have you noticed that the flowers don't talk to you? With, you know, just see them. Sometimes I tell the Lord,
I think you have to punish those who don't believe in you. Yeah, because they are wicked. They are deceptive. You can't look at creation and say you don't believe in God. One of my friends sent me a video the other day to show how God paints. My God, just pictures of birds. If you, you know, you have to sit down and say, who paint? Anybody who said this came by chance, have fire for you. That's what you feel like saying. Because you see the beauty, the first day I saw the picture of the mandarin duck, the thing is so colorful, so symmetrical. The colors are perfectly symmetrical. Mixture of like 7 different colors on one bird. Perfectly symmetrical. Look, if you saw, the first time you see, you think it's a painting. Actually, it is a painting. God just said, let me do something. Visit the structure of the DNA. Now, all those colors are encoded in this DNA. The amount of information that's in one cell's DNA. Ah, let me not give wrong figures now. The volume that it will take in, let's an encyclopedia, no printed pages. Let's even leave that. There are researchers now trying to code information in DNA. Do you know? Instead of this one that you, to binary. And as if it's DNA, you have 4 digits to choose from. Rather than binary, that just 1. 1 or 0, 1 or 0. This one, you have 4. And the whole thing is packed and rolled into a tiny nucleus in a tiny cell. And you tell me it came by chance. Honestly, thunder has to fire you. Honestly. What am I saying? Everything was created for God's glory. Everything. The birds, the stars, and of course, you and I. Just by living, we give God glory. The way we live our lives, we give God glory. One of our sisters, you know, spoke with me the other day. I referred to it, I think, last week. Or I think on Tuesday. In her office, everybody knows her. She's the only person that does not grumble. I've said, you Christians, many of us Christians, we just disgrace God every day. They increase power tariff. What is going on in this country? They want the poor to die. It's the first way you respond. Why are you not even ashamed of yourself? You represent God. This is how you are talking. Anything you do is a reflection of what your father is like. I hope you know that. That's what it means to reflect. Go and read Hebrews chapter 1. It's the express representation of his nature. So much that Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus said, there is nothing else to see. That's what Jesus said to Philip. How can I be with you all this while you're saying, show us the Father? So what have you been seeing? If you wanted to see the Father, just look at me. And listen, every single one of us was created. I preached this message many years ago. There's an aspect of God you were created to reflect. There is an aspect of God. And that's why God is God. He's so great. He literally needs more than the billions of people that have lived on this earth to truly reflect him physically. Look, make some things that's what they call it, noble purpose. All right? Make some things noble as a purpose in your life. That you make them the purpose of your life. That look, I just want to live to reflect God. There's something Jesus told us, that all these things you are pursuing, they will be added. They will be added. This is running up and down. They will be added. Locate the right reasons for living. They say things are getting more expensive and you laugh. They say value of the money is dropping. You say, the one I have, let me quickly share it so that we can get full value for it. That's your reaction to things. You just tell yourself that, no, this life, see, I said this long ago when I was much younger. I said, God, please, I don't want to live an average life. You know, just be another non, just one of the masses. That's one word, if it hurt me not long enough, you know, I despise that word. Masses. Nothing wrong with those who want to be masso, but I will never be called amongst the masses. There are words you have never heard from my mouth. We masses. We. We. What is we? Who are the we? I'm not masso. I'm not part of the masses at all. I'm a unique. The day you see one fellow that's exactly like me, come and tell me. You will never find. You will never find. You will never find. You will never find. So what is we about the masses? There's no we. I'm not part of the masses.
You can't go to an Egyptian prison and say, Joseph, one of the masses in prison. That means you are blind. It's you that you don't know what is going on. Children are being born. People are being born every day. You see Moses, one of the masses of children. Moses, one of the masses of children. Moses that later God had to bury in secret. Because this guy will be my competitor in worship. That's how much glory God packed upon. And you call that little baby Moses one of the masses of children? I've never been able to see myself as one of the masses. And listen, I've sat inside luxury buses. I've sat inside, okay, planes carry a lot of people here. That's why you see a lot of people sitting inside. I've sat inside planes, so we are plenty there. But I've never felt like one of the masses. Never. I like the story of Samuel Doctore. I love that his story. You all know one of the masses. He was on a plane. And one engine blew. Boom! Caught fire. And he could see the engine. So, of course, you know the way we normally do. Hi! People can pray. Those prayers of panic. Now, this was not in Nigeria, so I assume that the prayer was not that much. But people were making a lot of noise. But he just looked outside and saw an angel under the wing of the plane. So he just reclined his seat while everybody was calling upon their God. He was sleep, resting in his God. He's not one of the masses. It didn't cross his mind for 1 second that this plane will crash and he will die because of it. If he died, it was just time to go. The ship, you know, there was a shipwreck. Everybody was there. Paul was inside prison. I hope you get my point. He was a prisoner being shipped over to Rome. Not one of the masses. He was not one of the masses. He told them, guys, let's not move. It's going to be a dangerous distance. They said, they thought he was one of the masses. One of the masses of prisoners. Why are you talking? So the captain and the centurion said, no, we have to move because let's get out of here before this. He said, guys, it won't be good. They didn't listen to him because he thought erroneously that he was one of the masses. Okay? Then just like he said, trouble came. What's the name of that wind? Euraquilo or Euracledon, whichever. Depending on the plane, it's Euraquilo if you read the King James. And someone said, Euraquilo. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say? A troublesome spirit that came against them. Broke the ship to pieces. Of course, before then, for days they are not seeing light. The wind was bad. Nobody had eaten. So Paul now finally stood up and said, okay, now I don't mean to pull ranks, all right? But you should have listened to me. Now, you know why he referred to that? So that they will listen to him now. It wasn't like one day, I told you. It wasn't a matter of I told you, but I told you. But I wasn't trying to do, I told you. But I told you. But listen to me now. That nobody will die. You know why God said that? Because Paul begged him. Then he said, I have to learn how to read in between the lines in the scriptures. Why would angel just say that nobody's going to die? What do you concern Paul? Apart from the fact that he begged God for mercy. These people are just prisoners, Lord. Don't mind those centurions. They won't listen. Please have mercy. That also happened. Paul prayed before them. For everybody. So the angel came and said, God has granted you their lives. So Paul stood boldly. Nobody's going to die. How do you know? I said, you're not one of the masses. No, you have to tell yourself, oh. No, I'm not one of the masses. I'm not one of the masses. Because he said, God, whose I am and whom I serve. The angel of that God stood before me and said, God has granted me the life of everybody that's with me. So you guys relax. You'll be fine. But so that next time prophet talks, you will listen. You are going to lose everything. And of course, it happened the way he said. Don't enter a plane and you are sitting like one of the masses. Yeah, boom. What happened? There are times you could just use a boo yourself, you know, even if you are not feeling like that, just say, I was going to just rest, just close your eyes and sleep. You say, okay, we want to pray. I prayed before I left home. I just. So one day, Nigerians, some Christians, let me not start on their matter. We were on a plane, coming to Enugu from Abuja. We entered storm, which is not a new thing. Even though I'd never been in one like that, I couldn't see anything. But I'm not the pilot. Am I supposed to see anything? But I'm used to looking out, and this one, you look at everything just white. So whether you're under the ocean, or whether you're even flying to heaven, I had no idea. Hey, there are these two prayer warriors. They shouted, Jesus is my Lord. And I thought, like, God, what are they doing? At the point that I shouted on the one that was close to me, will you let us hear the pilot? Because you couldn't hear announcement. Someone now looking at me as if I was the problem. So they are praying. They're not praying, they are panicking. What is screaming? Did you hear that Jesus was screaming at the storm? The one that annoyed me were the shoes they now borrowed. That day I looked at them and I said, you know, when we came down, finally landed in Enugu, I wanted to call them. I said, the two of you okay? Which church do you go to? They don't teach you anything there. You're praying in the midst of a storm. You are standing in the shoes of Apostle Joshua Selman. Do you know where he is going? Do you know whether he even has, whether his shoe is good? They were signing the shoes of Paul and Ninche. The man is in Abuja with his own shoes. You are here. The guy said, no, I'm using my own to carry my plane to America. What is your problem? And they say, we behave as if we are crazy. What is wrong with the name of Jesus, people? What is wrong with that simple name of Jesus? What is wrong with it? Where is it weak? Where is it ineffective that I need to borrow a man of God's shoes? Are we normal? I will never, God forbid. You know me enough. I love men of God. I quote them all the time. There's nobody that will listen to me for a few hours. You will not hear me drop names here and there. But I never stand in anybody's shoes. They are too small.
Yes, sir.
Can't carry my problems. Some people are shouting their shoes. Do you know the problem they're having with God? God said, I go kill this one next year. All this is my way to talk. I just leave him. You are signing his shoes. So that's they come out your leg when he's dead. People just risk their lives for nothing. Why should I borrow anybody's shoes when I can sit with Christ in God? Why do we like to, you know, the other day, one of our brothers, you know, shared something with me. That one pastor said that you must learn to tell God the good works you have done so he can reward you. So I said, okay, let's not even argue over it. Let us assume. Let's mention the richest man in the world. They keep on arguing over it. Okay, let's just pick one of them, Jeff Bezos. There's a man worth $200 billion. Assuming Jeff Bezos came to me one day, say, ha, banking. I really like you. When I saw you guys last time, what the things you told me kind of really helped me a lot in this, my life and marriage and ministry. So I have deposited $1 billion in an account. And this is a card. Anytime you want to spend, don't worry about it. Now let us assume now, I work for Federal Ministry of Health, and they're supposed to pay me 500,000 naira every month. And they now don't pay. 2 months, 3 months. Do you think I'll ever have time to go and protest? No, just think about it. So all the other workers come and say, with these new tariffs on power and fuel and the cost of the dollar, no, this salary must go up. Say, so we are meeting yesterday, tomorrow on the express road to Abuja to block the road. I will say, okay, it shall be well with you people. You know, that's what I will be telling them. You know why? Because that 1 million you want to collect out of the federal government, let's say you want to push to 1 million naira. If you multiply it by 12, that's 12 million in a year. Okay, let's just assume that dollar is 1,000 naira. How much is that in dollars? $12,000. Please, how long will it take you to reach my $1 billion in my account? You know, if Jeff Bezos were to see me on the street, he would say, you're a fool. You don't value your time. By possessing $1 billion in an account, the value of my time has changed. Yeah, that's how life is. Just by the way, you know, I like to drop small things. That's why stop insulting those who are flying private. The value of their time and your own is not the same. So that is why, if God sent a man like that to drop $1 billion in my account, I would not go to the road to go and be saying, we know go grill. You should know when masses are massing. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
those are masses things, the things of masses. Now, why did I go to all of this? Whatever Jesus has done for me is more than $1 billion. I don't have time to be demanding of God to pay me for what I have done. I don't know whether you're catching that.
Yes,
Is it right or wrong? It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. God, look at what I have done. You pay me back. Jesus will say, oh boy, are you okay? What you will do in 10 billion years cannot give you enough reward compared to what I have done for you already. So why do you have time to be recording what you did or did not do? I just want you to do that. See, when you talk about standing in somebody's shoes, it's not necessary. The name God is called in the whole of the New Testament, go and check it. It's God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't call him the God of Abraham. Abraham is too small. They didn't call him the God of Isaac. Isaac is a child. They didn't call him the God of Jacob. That little infant, compared to Jesus Christ, that's what I'm talking about. The greatest of the three is Abraham. And Jesus said, he rejoiced to see my day. They didn't call him the God of David. Jesus said, David called him Lord. I hope you're getting my point. The only title that God was called, the only time they called him God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob was in the book of Acts. And that's because Peter was speaking to the Jews. Paul's revelation was too deep. That is, Paul saw Abraham worshiping Jesus. I don't know whether you're catching that. So he couldn't call God by Abraham. He said, no, it's God. So we will not wake up these days and I want to use the name of our papa to describe him. And God is embarrassed. What is wrong with you people? Your papa is supposed to introduce you to Jesus Christ. That's all. These girls were standing in shoes and I was looking at them. Say, me, I'll not crash my plane. Yeah, that's how my plane will now drop. I just looked and said, God, please have mercy on these people. Be honest with you, I didn't panic for one moment. Two reasons why I didn't panic. Most important reason is that God is good and he can carry a plane through a storm. That's the most important reason. Let me not even talk about the second reason. Well, my second was that there's nothing new. Are you getting my point? This is not even a hurricane category. It's just rain. Please, I hope you're getting my point. When they were shouting, they were standing in shoes. I said, shoo. Hey, by the way, nobody should stand in my shoes. Some of you have large feet. You wear my shoes. Now I come back, you think just be loose on my feet. Don't stand in my shoes, please. Stand in the shoes of Pastor Banky. If you try that one, God will answer you. I begged him not to answer you. Where will I stand now? Stand in the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. What is wrong with that name? Is it that we are so ignorant? You know, some of us, we are used to following Babalawo. We are the type that will manufacture saints that God is too high. We want to praise. He said, Holy Michael, pray for us. Some people go to some churches. Holy Michael, Waluda. Have you ever been to some white garment church? Yes, they were just here. I said, man, those churches, they grow. You know why? The jams there. When they start dancing, Holy Michael, Waluda. You go make it dance. We have going there. We will manufacture all kinds of names to pray. Holy Anthony, you want to pray. I hope you know, some of you don't know. Some of this is a pure idolatry. Yes, Saint Anthony, the person that finds lost things. Yes. Yes, patron saint of lost things. If your things are lost, you ask Holy Anthony. Some of those saints in heaven, they are like, now wow. I come up for it. This won't let me have peace here. People say they are praying through a saint. I said, wait, sorry, that same energy, why don't you pray to God directly? Is that not the whole concept? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to whom? The Father, except. So the saints can't take you there. And you already have access in Christ Jesus. A new and living way that he made through his flesh. What is your problem? Some people want to plug every angle. Yeah, just in case. That is called unbelief. That's why nothing will work. If you want to pray, pray in the name of Jesus. That's good. Anything that name can't handle is not handleable. All right, the Lord is good. All right, just introducing our message for today, that we're all made for God's glory. Amen? Amen. We're all made for God's glory. And we must manifest his glory. How do we manifest it? Like what St. Francis, that Francis of Assisi said once. He said, gather these boys. He said, guys, let's go to the market to go and preach. And they followed him around. After a while, he headed back to the base Just who have not said anything to anybody. The lesson for today is if your life does not preach the gospel, your words won't. That was the lesson for the day. They just got to the market, just walked from one stall to another, just maybe priced some things, just went around the market. After a while, they left. And the men were surprised. Sir, we didn't preach to anybody. Say, if our lives do not preach the gospel, our words can't. You don't just preach with your words. You preach first and foremost with your life. That is how you show for the glory of God. The Lord is good. All right, let's get into our message. We are talking about soldiers of the cross. And that's what we have been looking at for some time. This will be our fourth, I think, day on that. Yes, I think, let me quickly get into where we are. I will try not to do too much review. But I need to repeat some things I said towards the end of last week. That's last message. Towards the end. Because I'm going to pick it up from there today. Now, remember we read from the book of Daniel. The vision of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember that? Yes. What happened in that vision? Nebuchadnezzar, of course, what he saw was a statue that represented different epochs, different times on the earth, different empires ruling. There was he was the head of gold, according to the interpretation that Daniel gave him. And then after that will come the chest made of silver. Babylon was the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar being the king that time. After that, the kingdom that will come is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. After that, you have the kingdom of the Greeks, and then that of the Romans. And then you have these feet mixed with made of clay and iron mixed together. Then at the end, we'll have this stone. Let me just read the last portion of it, verse 35, Daniel chapter 2. Let me back up, verse 34. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2, you continue looking until the stone was cut out without hands, and he struck the statue on his feet, the feet of iron and clay, and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold, all of them were crushed all at the same time. That tells you that there will be pieces of those kingdoms existing. They were all crushed at the same time, and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But let's look at the stone. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That stone represents the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, and that stone, notice something, it became a great mountain. So it became. There was a process of changing from just being a stone, a little stone, a small group of disciples in Judah of those days, all right? A small group of people began to grow, and they are still growing till now. I hope you're getting my point. And they will grow until they become a massive mountain, and they will fill the whole earth. That's God's purpose described. That's why Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the earth, because the stone must grow to fill the whole earth. That's God's purpose. All right? Now, next point. Now listen to this carefully. The purpose of God, such a purpose, does not prosper, does not succeed without his people. We've read from Revelation chapter 17 that the kings, that the beast takes his authority from the other kings. But the lamb will overcome him. They will wage war against the lamb. They are serving the purpose of the beast. But the lamb will overcome him. Why? He's the king of kings and he's the lord of lords. Now, what is important about that is the fact that without the kings and the lords, he will not overcome. The emphasis was not on the Lord, that the lamb being so great in himself, even though we know he is. But the order of God is that the lamb has a lot of kings and lords serving his purpose. That is the emphasis. And until they are recruited in the appropriate number, the beast will not be overcome. I'm already into my message for today, because we're continuing from where we stopped last time. Please remember I said something. That spiritual warfare is a warfare of authority. It's not a warfare of strategy. It's not a warfare of political scheming, of economic scheming. Let's gather enough money. No, it's a warfare of authority. I was telling a story last time, I didn't finish it, okay? That when we were young, I used it to explain some other things, so that's why I didn't finish it. That when we were young, we watched traditional, you know, the way warfare was. I said something last time, I should repeat, that nobody goes to battle. All battles are spiritual. People will go to battle only after they know they have won spiritually. So David will pray and ask God, should I go? And God will determine. He said, who will let me entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead so he can perish there? The outcomes are determined ahead of time. I explained that when we're growing, okay, I was trying to get there, but I didn't get there, that we saw people do warfare. People laughed at it. That's what I was trying to explain last time. But now that I'm older, I realize that they are not funny. So you see two men, they say they are going to fight. You see them wear all their traditional gadgets and they hold a ram's horn in their hands, tie a piece of cloth to it. Now we know that that ram's horn was not particularly necessary, but that's how they depicted it for us. And when fight starts, they start talking to each other. And the fight's always incantations. And people will recite words and recite words. And that's what they will do until they win. So, you know, when we began to grow and study atoms, you know, and study the Rutherford model, and study all the models of atom, the nucleus, with those things don't work like that. Then when we became older, we shut our mouth. Because the father, even physics realized that life can be quite spooky. Quantum mechanics. Albert Einstein looked at it. He said, now, wow, you are telling me something can have effect faster than the speed of light. All the theories broke down when they got into quantum mechanics. Physics started looking like this. So the older we got, we became quiet. Thank God for scriptures. We found out that it's not just African. When Balak was going to go to war, he sent for Balaam. He sent for Balaam. And he told him, look, I need to win this battle. How will I win? Curse these people for me. It's a spiritual fight. And he lost simply because Balaam did not succeed. Why? In the case of these people, they are unique. No enchantment that I have will work against them. But these are real things. That's what I'm going to make. So warfare spiritually is a warfare of authority. Do you get what I'm saying? See, if you want, let's assume they say, Northern Nigeria is held like this. This state is held like this. God said, I will put my word in somebody's mouth who will stand and break down the walls. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That communism fell, not because America was so strong, but because one day, God said it is enough. And somebody or some people, a group, I believe, rose and spoke against it. Now, listen to this carefully. What God does is to train his soldiers, train his people until he, because let me tell you something about God quickly. He exists in different forms, depending on the function. Two very important ones, all right? One, he's a judge of the whole earth, and that's one of the most important titles he has. And when he's a judge, he doesn't know Christian, doesn't know Muslim, does not know pagan, does not know anything. Does not know angel, doesn't know. As judge, he's totally blind to who you are. He doesn't take sides as judge. As your father, okay, that's my son. As judge, anybody can approach, anybody can come, anybody can bring up arguments. Arguments are weighed on their merit. That's why I keep on telling Christians. If you want this country, the Holy Spirit says, God will give you. But the judge can never rule in your favor if some people want it more than you. They can't. No matter how much he said the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, he's removing them. If the Israelites did not want the land, they couldn't take it. The people that he preserved and said, I will bring you to replace these ones. So you must want the land as much as those people want it. It's part of the rules. If you don't want it, I can't give you. So he left giants there. So anytime you see giants, you don't run. Because sometimes you run into trouble with God. When I say run into trouble, I mean literal. You run and you are getting into trouble for running. Next place you take your steps into is trouble. Because you rejected his counsel, you responded his reproof, you rejected his gift. God does not take it kindly with those who reject his gift. You don't reject him and go free. It doesn't work. So I'm talking about the way the judge behaves. All right? He's very fair. He has set certain rules in place. So if you are coming before him, it's the weight of authority that you come with that matters. Please, let me explain something. There's a reason why Jesus ever lives as an intercessor. Because were it not for that, you see, let me tell you, the highest authority has been given to him. And what is he using it for? He uses the power of his words to save your life and mine. Because spiritual warfare is about authority. What is the Lord doing? He's raising his people so that they will become people of authority. They will be available in enough numbers, available covering enough sectors for the Lamb to overcome. And you know what? Satan knows. He knows this principle. It's not hidden. God didn't hide it. It's there for everybody to see. But when we are not careful, you know what we do? We neglect. So Satan, what he does every time is buy authority. It's called mergers and acquisitions. It's called mergers and acquisitions. Microsoft bought LinkedIn. It's one of their best investments. The other day I read one very interesting one. Is it Google that bought Motorola? Alayinka?
Yes.
I read one analysis. It was a very useless investment to an average person. When the person analyzed what they did, I said, Omo, she's skilled. Because they had a lot of lawsuits coming up. They bought Motorola because Motorola had a lot of, copyrights, patents that everybody was using. That's what they wanted. They just pocketed it. So yeah, go and sue. Mergers and acquisitions. Just acquire. Let's not start talking business now. But it's a spiritual principle. Satan goes around and says, this guy is going somewhere. Authority he will carry, it won't be easy. It will be rough for us. Same name, your price. That's it. Came to Jesus. Anything. Just name it. You want to rule the Roman Empire, I give it to you. The remnant of the Medes and Persians, they are still there. I give them to you. We'll go over and collect the Greeks. Everything has been given to me. You want it politically, I give you. You want entertainment, I give you. You want economic, I give you. Just bow to me. It was a strategy. Because it's who is your Lord? Who's he? You know, like Lord's under you now. Who's your king? The king's under you. So I'm talking about. That will determine which battle you win. He said, if I get this guy. One day, one man gave us a testimony. We're talking. I said, things are going on. He went to see one man. The man looked at him. These are men that had vision. People have vision. He came to see the man. The man looked at him and said, Kai, that he can see his destiny. He told him, give me the authority. He said, I will sacrifice 10 virgins, 7 virgins and 7 young men for you. By this so and so time, this is what you will achieve. Just say, go ahead. Then leave the rest to me. I've told some of you, just when they are doing policy, they're just there making noise. And what he was offering was political power. That just say yes. That you don't get the point. You don't need to do anything. Don't give me money. Don't give me anything. I just want your words. Just give me the authority to do it on your behalf. And by so time, this is the power you will have. Told the man, thank you very much. Not interested. I came here to give you the word of God. That Jesus said I should tell you this. That Jesus said, these are the words. He came to give the man the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the man saw him, he said, wow. A man like you? No, it shouldn't be your skill. They had never met before. They were meeting for the first time. When Satan came to Jesus and said, bow to me. Listen, he's doing it till today. That's what I've been explaining to people. He's doing it. God gives people gifts. Those who are with him, we read the last time, are what? The called, the chosen, and the faithful. The problem is unfaithfulness. Oh my God, people are unfaithful. People are unfaithful. God gives them small power, small authority. Satan says, we're in trouble. Asmundi. Asmundi said, yes, sir. Give me another name of demons. You don't know demons again. Sukus. Suku. No, it's not Sukus. No, you didn't go to that church where. There's Asmundi. Anyway, sir. Oh, he said Mogadishu. There's one. Mogadishu should be like kidnapper. He will call the demon. They will call, say, what is going on? Now, listen to me. Now, please listen to what I want to say clearly. The devil knows there is nothing he can do to that person. Zero. He can't kill him. He can't make him sick. He can't injure him. He can't do anything. The only thing you've done, you've scared him. He can't. Look, your presence will terrify him. The devil can, there's no person of destiny the devil can kill, not one. Even if it's a baby. He couldn't kill Moses, couldn't kill Jesus, couldn't kill baby Samson. There's nothing he could do. Why? God, you have to understand, Satan does not kill people that God didn't give him the power to kill. So he keeps on trying. What you see physically is what I call echoes of accusation. What you just see is the attempt. The bullet will whiz past your ear. Don't say, hey, praise God. Hey, brethren, God saved me yesterday. He will just remain 1 inch. That 1 inch is as wide as 55 miles. If I just moved back small, the bullet will pass through my head. I'll be dead now. Don't bother. It was not going to happen. It whizzed past your ear. He missed your head by just 1-2 inches. It's as wide as missing your head by 700 kilometers. Because death is not a game of chance. It's not. The devil knows. He knows. He knows. He can't take anybody that God did not say, you can have that one. People make it look as if, Satan wants to kill. His attempt to kill you is not down here. It's up there, before the judgment throne of the judge of the whole earth. It comes with petitions and accusations. So when they see somebody of destiny, what do we do? Things are rough. If this guy makes it to where he's going, we don't die. The work of 700 years will come to an end. So what do we do? Boys, you know what to do. Give him the Moab treatment. The Balaam treatment. That's it. Ah, good morning, sir. How are you, sir? Yes, sir. Don't start. But what don't they look anyhow? Once you look two times, Satan takes the girl. You are trying. Give the girl more power, more anointing. Jezebel's spirit. The Asherah demons. Damn the girl. The guy will look, you see the most beautiful, most attractive thing you have ever seen. That's where Satan is walking. I like one thing this guy used to say. What is his name? Lester Sumra. He used to tell his pastors, young pastors he would send out. He said, let me just warn all of you that you meet women in your church who will cut their fingers to sleep with you once. That they say, pastor, shape, I will give you. That they will do anything for you. They just want to go to bed with you one time. Not me talking, no. Lester Sumra. He used to warn his missionaries. So when you are going, just be careful. Now, this is where I'm going. Why? People who don't know think it's not immorality. Yes. No, it's not immorality. It's not immorality. It is Satan looking for doors. What do I say before the judgment? I need to kill this guy. I need to buy his anointing. If I can't kill him, his first choice is not death. His first choice is work for me. Second choice is kill him. What do I do? Satan will look up and down. Send those women. That was what Balaam told him. Told Balak. That is the only way that works. That is where a lot of people start losing it. They sell. Oh, Father in heaven. False prophets will come and tell them that the witch against them is in the village. No, she's in their church. She's a minister. She sings like an angel. See, let me tell you the truth. One of the best songs I've heard in this life were not in church. The other day, my wife and I were just telling her some things. I told her, look at Bob Marley. I showed her videos of Bob Marley. I said, this guy was inspired. A friend of mine was mocking me. We were joking. He said, I was just joking. I said, you know I'm inspired. We're just playing. He said, Banky, see, The problem is that I just finished watching Peter beat the drum. He said, look, that was inspired. He sent the link. When I watched it, and the guy will get up. Everybody say, Jah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be healing, said Rastafari, that is, he has carried the title of Jesus and given to a human being he met in Ethiopia. So let the wicked blow like chaff. They will melt before the Lord like wax melts before the fire. You think you are in church until you hear the word Rastafari. Aha. Aha. And the guy sat down, lit a frap, dragged it, put it down, and began to beat the drum. Let me confess to you. I enjoyed it. This guy was beating the... So my friend was telling me that. He said, Bank, you say you're inspired. This man too was inspired though. So let's know the inspiration you are using. Because he said, I saw him smoke one fat rap. The guy dragged it, then dropped it and picked the drum. And began to hit the drum. Ah, I told my wife, these guys, they sabi, but they smoke. Oh. The chief priest of Anikula Kuti, fella, he said, no, that is not Indian hemp. It's incense to the gods. People thought he was just rapping nonsense. I said, no. By that time, I understood spiritual things. I said, this guy is called the chief priest, not for a joke. He said, this is how we worship the gods. That the time fella fell sick was because he agreed with Musa Bami to stop distributing Indian hemp in shrine as part of NDLA work. He said, the moment he agreed, he fell sick. He said, he broke the agreement with the gods. You can look at it, he doesn't know what he's saying. Me, I don't play like that. See, one brother said he entered the shrine. This guy was a redeemed pastor when he was giving the testimony. He didn't know how to play anything. In 2 days, he became an expert in like 2 or 3 instruments. This guy was testifying as a redeemed pastor. That, look, guys, it's not a joke, we're joking there. I entered the shrine, a spirit possessed me. I could play the guitar like a minstrel. So I'm just telling you to know, so you understand satanic activity. He can come to church, you give Satan, be leading praise worship. Pastor doesn't want his sister to go. She's threatening to go. Better let her go. See, you don't need, look. Children, no. You know, it's good enough. It's good enough. Stop having unbelievers hired to be on your keyboard. If nobody will play it, shut it down. Everybody, let's raise our hands. That's, you see, churches, apostles, you need to discover hymns. You have to sing hymns. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, I know. I'm agreeing with you. Yes. You know what I like about hymns? Nobody can come and harass me. All of us will sing it together. It's when they turn one person to a star. Sister Eve from the Garden of Eden is going to minister to us today. That's how you'll be threatening us. If you leave, all of us will sing our hymns. Carry your wallet and go. Because some of them, because pastor doesn't want her to go. It now becomes a temptation to pastor's life. Pastor, I have a serious problem. Can I see you now? Are you mad at 9 p.m.? You can see me. Okay, no problem. So, where do I come? I say, I'll call you back. Mommy, quench your phone. Go and sleep. Tomorrow morning, I was calling yesterday. Look, if you call me again at night, you will know what I'm made of. Where I'm going, that's how Satan works. That's the point I'm making. That's how Satan works. It's not a Nakari assassin. The assassin is sending after you can't do anything. And he knows. How many people have heard all kinds of people say they want to go and kill a man of God? Now, please let me just say this. It's not only preachers. It's not only preachers I'm talking about. There are people who are not preachers who are important to the plan of God on the earth. Every single one of us, we are important. It's just I use preachers because I'm a preacher. And I've been ordained to stand in front of you and talk. So I use my life, you know, and my colleagues a lot. But we are not the only ones. Anybody who carries his weapon to go and attack an anointed child of God, a called child of God, an ordained child of God, a child of God that God is using, God has a word for that person. His arrow must enter his own heart. His arrow must is the word of God. So if you're an assassin, just know how to die early. If you want to be a criminal, better go and also join a cult. So that you would ask them, shall I go? Shall I not go? You say, who? Hey, that one, don't go. If you go, you won't come back. If you come back, it'll be without one eye, without one hand, without one leg. So make up your mind. But you won't kill that guy. Never, never. Let us let you know those who God has given over to death. So one man of God I heard of, this was in Onitsha. For whatever reason, somebody, they suspected one big man, sent assassin after him. He just came alone, just came out of his car. He watched them reverse themselves under a packed trailer. Yes. He didn't do anything. They just came out, looked at him, and started running. But the person driving, he sped away so fast, he drove under a packed trailer. Four of them died there. He was watching. With your eyes, you will behold. He beheld. And this is what I'm telling you happened about 20 years ago. He's still alive till today. I'm very well. I'm still causing trouble. I hope you're getting my point. See, Satan, you have to take this faithfulness thing very seriously. Because it's the only way Satan gets power. He doesn't have... Look, he panics. Once somebody gives his life to Christ, Satan is looking like Mogwe. Yeah. Mogwe. This one has gone to church. They now say they are doing... Those who receive the Holy Spirit come for service tomorrow. Satan can't stop it. The guy gets up again. The girl gets up again and goes to the place. And they're doing the Holy Spirit. Ha. So his friend will meet him on the way. Hey, but how now? Where are you going? We're going to church. What are you going to do? A Christian, no? They are doing Holy Spirit baptism, infilling on the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues. These things begin to discourage him. It's Satan. Once you give your life to Christ, you are already filled. Now say, hey, is that so? One angel will just whisper to him, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Paul got to Ephesus and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you... That is, Paul said it's not so. It's okay. Let's just go. Let's go and eat. No, I'll eat later. Let me say something quickly to it. This is not my message, but my wife and I were discussing. I was listening to one preacher preach. He said, I almost married the wrong person. I said, there's no almost. You cannot marry the wrong person. You can't miss the right person. You can only miss the right principles. It just remains small. These things are not games of chance. It's a principle upon which you married that will decide whether you are right or you are wrong. Let me not stick on that. But if I start, I won't finish what I'm saying. So this man, they want to discourage him. God said, don't choose food, though. Don't labor for food that perishes. Labor for the one that endures to what? Eternal life. He said, now they go to church. Satan said, yee, oh, party. This guy is going to church. The good deal. Somebody finish preaching. They pray. Whether he falls under the power or stands straight, whether he feels it or does not feel it, he's filled with the Spirit. Please go and read my book, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have not read it, you know how wicked you are. That's true. Go and read it. It's free. If you don't mind the digital copy, just go to our website and download it. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian must be filled with the Holy Spirit and must continually be what? Refilled. Constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So the guy is filled with the Holy Spirit. The girl is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I say, this guy wants to scatter Enugu kingdom for us. Because what makes the kingdom that of Jesus Christ is that he or the Father is able to promote his people in authority, not in government, in authority. The man can be a teacher in a primary school, can be a businessman in the market, can be a chief medical director, can be a judge, can be a bus driver, all right? Can be a builder, can be a roofer. Is that like roofer? Those who roof house, they call them roofer. Because you know English is a very funny language. You find out that the people are called roof. You know. After all, ushers usher people to their seat. One of my friends said that, look, let me usher you to your seat. I said, there's nothing like usher. I know you're an usher, but you don't usher people. You're an usher, you usher somebody. That's how confused. I will ban English when I become president. The guy can be roofing buildings. It doesn't matter. But God has promoted him in rank and in authority in Enugu. He doesn't have to be the governor. He may have more power than the governor. And often people like that do. So Satan is looking like, things are spoiling. No? This boy has gone to church. This girl has received the Holy Spirit. Then you plant another Satan. So he will look. What do we do next? Okay, now listen to me. This is very sad, but this is what happens. Listen. Jesus said the sower went forth to what? To sow. Some fell by the wayside. They didn't hear anything. They didn't understand anything. The breath of the air came, picked it, and then that's all. That's all. It's gone. Then some entered shallow ground. They began to grow. They put their roots down, but the earth was not deep. So when the sun came, persecution, that came by reason of the word, they withered and then they disappeared. Then the third group, the earth was deep. They sank the roots down. The leaves came up. The problem they had, they've gone far now. They're giving their life to God. They received the Holy Spirit. They've been going to church. But then, when the world began to show them some things, deep inside their hearts, I was talking to my wife yesterday, that the main problem with people is that they can be going to church, but you don't know what is really deep inside. Some people, in this their life, they must succeed. And they mean financially. All this story you are telling, they don't get it. Preach from now till tomorrow. It's painful when you see it. That deep inside their heart, they must succeed. Some of them, it's a very funny thing. You know, when I see some things that people fall for, they have a picture of a house somewhere in North America or Europe that they too, they must live in. That is, they must live in this household. So preach from now till tomorrow. God can call them what they call him. That is very funny. But that little thing is deep inside the heart. Some is, when they were small, they told them that they were not smart, they will not do well in life, and they have to prove it. You can be doing everything. The guy I must make. He had just one thing in his life. If God said, what must I do for you? Say, make me big so that all my enemies will shut up. Preach from now till tomorrow. The thing is deep inside. Persecution cannot take such people away from the word. They could not. Persecution. No. Satan knows where he's waiting. That seed, it begins to grow. You know what the Bible calls it? The cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things. This is the funny part. A natural person would have thought the most dangerous weapon in the arsenal of the devil is persecution. But God says it's not. It is the free choices we make because we love other things. The more you persecute the church, the stronger they become. But let them prosper. Give them the opportunity to pursue money. That is when they start turning their backs on the Lord. And that's where Satan is with. This guy has gone through everything. Satan said, ha, what do you do? Where is it? Give him money. Give him opportunities. Give him money. And I'm going to get into something today. That's actually my original intention. Because when we're talking about faithfulness has many aspects. Everybody was born for a reason. Everybody was called by God to participate in the building of the house of God on the earth in a particular area. They don't switch roles. Only God decides what you will do, when you will do it, where you will do it. You can't be an electrician in the preparation of the building. You now discover that the people who are getting all the glamour are those who are plastering outside. Because you're an electrician, you're inside. You now go and retrain as a plaster technician. So you can go out and be the one plastering the house so that you're on the scaffold. Be waving to them, yeah, we are plastering the house. We are plastering. If your job is to fix the toilets, no matter how good a roofer, you are sure? Okay, I will use my own method. No matter how good and how skilled as a roofing technician, you can't get that wrong. That you are. When God is coming to check, he's going to go around the toilets and see how good they are. When you get to toilet number one, it's not in place. Toilet number two, there were 17 toilets in the building. He checks all the toilets. None of them is fixed. Of two are fixed, 15 are not working. And he comes to the supervisor. Why are the toilets not in order? He says, sir, we do not have a plumber that's supposed to take care of the toilets. Said, no, but I sent Uchechukwu here. I did. Said, who did you say? Oh, that guy is a fantastic roofer. Come and see the work he did. No, I came here today to inspect toilets. And the guy has worn his best, you know, workman's this thing and his cap to show the Lord what he did. And the Lord finishes, enters his car and drives away. And he tells the supervisor, he didn't come to check the roof. He said no, that he was looking for you in the toilets. He wanted to see how good the toilets are. Yeah, like, look, what's the use of a toilet when the house doesn't have a roof? And he says to you, do you know the kind of house I'm building? I never wanted a roof. I have other layers I want to add on top of it. At the end of the day, the top is going to make up a material you don't know about. I sent you to go and install toilets. Said, throw that one into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A lot of people don't believe that, but that's what he said he would do. Servants that don't do what they are told to do. Satan will go to the person and say, listen, this is not where your mates are. This is not where your mates are. They are pastoring a church in a rural area. And you are a graduate. I'm not saying don't do ministry. I didn't say don't do ministry. I said with your degree in engineering, if you can start a ministry targeting professionals, they will respect you because you are one of them. Satanic fingers, satanic gesticulation, satanic voice. And you see, if you can win all the professionals in Enugu to Christ, you can see that the building of God... Look, I know the experience when Satan is talking. One of them is, as he's talking like this, your energy will be going away. He's sapping your soul. You say, look, once you can just win all the professionals, you know what will happen. This building will go faster. I won't even tell you what staying in that rural area pastoring can mean. There's no point. Because I can try and be logical, but I'm not supposed to be logical. I'm supposed to just teach you to obey. The master that says stay over there, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't explain in details to anybody. He doesn't explain in details to anybody. Just get your orders and get it right. Listen, Satan knows there's nothing you can... Look, please, forget the fact that churches these days worship Satan so much. Christians are more afraid of him than they are of God. Do you know that? The average person is more afraid of the devil than he is of God. I'm not joking. That's not supposed to be a joke. I dare to say 75% of Christians are more afraid of the devil than they are of God. They don't have a problem with disobeying God. But if they see a red rope, they will not jump it. No, think about it. If they see cowrie on the ground, this is how they will go around. One man, I read this story. Maybe it was a joke, but he came out one morning, saw his car. He had a white line around it. So he didn't enter the car. He went out by public transport. He took a taxi to work. Next day, the white line was still around the car. The third day, he came home and saw his little boy playing within the circle that was drawn around his car with a white line. So he panicked and told the boy to come out from there. Don't you know it's dangerous? The boy said, what is dangerous about it? Did you see that white line? He said, I know. And you're playing inside it. Do you know where it came from? He said, Mommy said I should throw away old flour in the house. So that's how I was just playing around the car. That's how the flour falls all over the place. The man began to beat the boy. The man woke up. He thought his enemies had come to put. What I'm telling you, it sounds funny. Look, I will say this. It's supposed to be secret, but you don't know the church. Okay? So I will say it. But it's a big church. They are there worshiping and giving offering and praising God every Sunday. The intercessory group. What did I call them?
Intercessory group.
Yes. The band of intercessors. One of their members, his wife died. All right? And people died. I'm not saying anything about it. Sad, but it's tragic. His wife died. So they all gathered and helped him. They finished the burial. The man, being a man of means, he now said, please. He invited them to his house for a reception just to tell them thank you. They did not go. Why? They said the thing that killed his wife is still in the house. Intercessory group. You know why he's bending his head? He knows the story. I needed to tell you it is intercessory group. And they were doing his door, following him up and down. They said the witchcraft that killed his wife is still there. They did not go. Look, if I don't know about his story, I'll tell you I don't know. It was one of the deacons that came and told me, he said, Pastor Simatao, I said, what happened? He told me this story. I said, what? Look, every day, I thank God for the job he gave me. You know why? Because I see some things. I can't believe that this is really happening in the body of Christ. That these are Christians. And let me say it again. Let me leave my message for a moment. I'll get back. I've told you before. All those people that say, my spirit said, you know, I don't like them. All those people that I pray all the time, I don't like you too. What is my reason? I don't like stupid people praying. That's what I mean. They can't sit down. They are impatient. Sit down and study the word. They can't. But then let us come and pray. These are the pieces of useless praying, meaningless tongues. It's the type you copy from Nollywood. They cannot sit down and learn what God is saying. They can't. I see them like that. What are you praying? There's no prayer that makes meaning if it's not founded on the knowledge of the word of God. It's like growing in the spirit. Holy Spirit does not jump into crazy people to groan. Ignorant people. You say, okay, speak in English first, or your native tongue. You finish. Our Father who art in heaven, when he has said it, hallowed be thy name, thy will. Okay, you know his will? What is his will concerning your wife? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Good. What is his will concerning your children? You train them in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. Good. Now, groan. That's the Holy Spirit. But when they just come and say, let us pray. We begin to pray for Nigeria. Oh, 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 oh. You have nothing to say. Don't deceive us. You have nothing to say. You have nothing to say. I'm telling you, most Christians are more afraid of the devil than they are of God. If the devil ties red rope at their gates, they won't go to work. To the glory of God, if you tie red rope, I will have finished cutting before I ask who put the rope. Yeah, because I don't want to, I will cut it. If you put anything around my car, I will first enter the car, reverse the car out, then come and say, what is this? Just for the interest of peace, I will do that. Told you this story many times, just a perfect story. I woke up, I found bat inside my, now I wasn't sleeping, a bat just appeared out of nowhere, flying around my room. I locked inside the wardrobe and went. I think it was Bishop that came and his wife that came to see us. I said, I have visitors. I went and attended to them. And then I said, Bishop, I have a witch upstairs to go and deal with. After that, I collected a bat, cut it, and threw it out. I said, get out, miss your way. I know many Christians will be praying. Havaya, go Lord, oh God, oh God, Jesus, Havaya. On bat. Prayer I have not used to resist temptation. I'll use it to kill a bat. Many Christians are more afraid of the devil than they are of God. I'm telling you. They just have, like, God won't do anything. Let me just warn you. He's more dangerous than the devil. He's more dangerous. See? He has warned you. Don't be afraid that somebody can only kill the flesh. He is more See, this God we serve is more dangerous than the devil. I'd rather disobey. I'd rather enter a shrine 50 times without praying than disobey God once. If you enter a shrine, nothing will do you. Like, you just jump inside the shrine, scatter it, and go away. There's no. See all those images you see there? When you are coming, they also move back. The spirit is inside them. If you want to sit, don't be afraid. They said, this stool, the witch sat on it. He said, me too, I need to sit. Carry your stool, sit down. When you look under, you see cowrie there. Don't remove the cowrie, sit on top of it. Don't be afraid. I remove it in Jesus' name. Why should I remove it in Jesus' name? Is it preventing me from sitting down? You know, people have, you know, this African traditional fear is not necessary. You get to your father's village, they tie a rope and a tree, and there's mango on it. See, there's only one thing you need to check. Is this mango in our compound? If it's in your compound, climb it and eat it. Use the rope as stepping stone. Don't worry. Do you get my point? If it's in your neighbor's compound, check whether it is stealing or it's not stealing. Let me tell you what to do. Check the branch that crossed over the boundary. Legally, you are allowed to eat from that one. Because the air above your property is your own. So anyone that's... But to reach is not the problem. Use stick to knock it down. If your neighbor says, you are plucking my mango, say, who swept the leaf on this side? If you're not the one sweeping the leaf, you can't be the one eating the mango. I'm telling the legal side of these things. There's a lawyer there nodding. So you see, I'm correct, you see. But don't cross to the neighbor's compound to go and climb the tree. That is trespassing. But that branch that trespass into your space. See, now let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Even if you can see the ojuju, they tied around, it doesn't matter. Once the branch crossed into your airspace, the spirits, they stop in the xylem at that boundary. They didn't come over. Pluck your mango and eat. And please, when you want to sleep, stop praying in the name of your, anything I ate in the mango. You did not eat anything in the mango. I hope you're getting my point. Once you receive the mango with thanksgiving, it is safe. Some people tell their children, as we go to the village, don't eat anything. And the children are like, why not? People are dangerous. Let me tell you, your God is more dangerous. Please teach these children to fear God, not to fear people. As they are going to the village, you are warning them ahead. As we are going to the village, let them go and greet the aunties. You don't want your children to eat anything anybody gives them. It's not good discipline, even if it's in town. I hope you're getting my point. But don't be afraid that if they go there now, don't let anybody touch your head. If they touch their head, what will happen? They will induct them into witchcraft. Witchcraft is a voluntary association. It's free. You can't force anybody to join it. And you cannot put my child in a coven without my approval. You know, let me be honest with you. Some things I don't like preaching. These things like this. You'll be surprised when you see me doing it. It's because you hear the kind of ignorance supposed Christians walk in. Like I keep on telling you, you never ask my children. We have never had this discussion in the house. That don't be afraid of bats. They don't know that bats are supposed to be afraid of. They don't know. They are not aware. They are more afraid of a centipede than a bat. They are not aware that witches dwell in cats. They are not aware. And any witch that dwells in a cat, once you enter my fence, the witchcraft stays behind. It's the felling species that's remaining that can enter my compound. Please raise your children to fear God. Warn them by the wages of sin. Tell them that those who want to ascend the hill of God must have what? Clean hands. Pure heart. Lips that don't tell lies. Teach them those things. Let's get back to the main thing that we are to preach in Abek. You know, when you hear the way Christians behave sometimes, you know, just like, Abba. Sometimes I feel like multiplying myself into like 20. To catch Christians in different places to teach them the truth. And please, all those of you who have been listening to me, carry these words and go and teach other people too. Because if we don't, the whole church will just be lagging behind. We'll be lagging behind the plan and the purpose of God on the earth. Let's get back to the main thing we're saying. So Satan knows that, if this young woman is anointed, I'm in trouble. So he fights hard to ensure that they are not faithful to God. Let me tell you something about the temptations of Jesus Christ. It didn't happen only in the wilderness. In fact, I believe the Bible just gave us that summary. So we'll see what he faced all his life. Turn your stones to bread is always available as a temptation. Bow down and worship me, I give you everything is always available as a temptation. Jump down is always available as a temptation. Jesus Christ suffered so many temptations. In fact, and that was the problem of his life. All those temptations. Because they had to be resisted. Every single one had to be resisted. Every single one had to be resisted. Why? Because the only thing Satan can do to prevent this kingdom from that stone from striking the foot of that statue, to prevent it from growing and filling the earth, is to keep on leaking the strength of the church by tempting the people to walk away. That's the only thing they can do. He doesn't have any other power. He can't kill them. Only God has the power to say, okay, you, it's enough. Leave the earth and come up here. He can't do anything. So he goes around with different kinds of temptations. This threat, I will shoot you if you go to church, is the weakest of them. The most powerful one is the one he uses what he calls the curse of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Remember what I said. How does this battle get won? It is a battle of authority. We are living life until authority is handed. Authority is handed only over to who? Overcomers. Those who are faithful. Those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. When they are faithful, he gives them a name, a stone, a white stone, that nobody knows the name that is written on it, apart from him that it was given to. What does that signify? Authority. God is recruiting and training and testing people until he has enough that he has given authority to in different areas. That he has given authority to in different areas. And Satan has only one thing he can do. To tempt them away. I know one thing he does. Switch sides. When he saw Jesus bow to me, he just said, switch sides. Switch. You've not seen it in athletics. In sports, it happens. One Olympic, this person is running from Kenya. Next Olympic is running for Denmark. Look, the Europeans have looked and said, these African boys, they were born on the run. Their mother was in a hurry when she gave birth to them. He's been running for a long time. Again, a small aside gist. You know Haile Gebrselassie? That iconic long-distance runner. You know why he could run like that? He used to run kilometers to school every morning. Yes. You can go and read the story. I didn't cook it up. You know, God used that thing. You see, every adversity here, you'd be surprised what God can do with it. What am I going to say? Some of those guys, they looked and said, how do we win this long distance thing? Let's offer them passports now. They just go, hey, Kipketa, how you doing? So I'm fine. We'd like to be a European citizen. Why not? At least next Olympic, one gold in the bag. That's what they do. But let's not talk about France and football. I tell you, I don't do football much. One World Cup. Yeah, it was World Cup now. I don't normally watch football. So I entered my house. We were gathered watching ball. So I asked somebody. I think I asked my son or somebody. I thought they said France is playing. He said, yes. I said, so why are they not playing? He said, no, they are playing. I said, where are they? He said, that's the French team. The one in this particular jersey. I said, well, how come they are all black? Everybody started laughing at me. Because until that day, I did not know that France was a black country. I thought it was a European country. That was the idea that France was in Africa. The Lord is good. Now let's get back to our main message. So what Satan does really is just to recruit people. Like I said, mergers, acquisitions, he goes around acquiring. Now it's the method he uses to acquire that's painful. That's the one who fall for it. He doesn't have many. You know, let me say something about Satan. You know, in medicine, there are some viruses. They are very easy to tackle. Do you know why? They don't change form. Measles virus is one of them. Polio virus is one of them. They don't change form. The polio virus was 50 years ago, the same one to today. So once they make the vaccine, it works. But flu virus, the vaccine you made last year, it's not working this year. The flu, it just comes out in the sun. It has changed. It goes to sleep. It has changed. So they are the ones that are difficult to tackle. HIV is like that too. It's one of the reasons why the vaccines don't work. Yeah, it can change form. There are hundreds of different types of it hanging around. Very difficult to control because of that. And that's the beautiful thing about the devil. He hasn't changed form in thousands of years. The vaccine God gave us against him works. It works. He has a few things. It's called the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. His temptations are just those three things. He doesn't force anybody to serve him. He baits them. He always offers things. No, that's what the devil does. Offers. Please, I'll say it directly. If your comfort is in life, is choosing where you go, where you don't go. Listen, don't bother praying. You have missed the will of God. Please, I need to go back over something quickly. Please, again, I'm begging you. And these books, good enough, God gave us a spirit. that said, put the books out there for free. All right? How I got that spirit is plenty. One of them is, I know, you know, to the glory of God, I've been a student of the Word of God since 1987. All right? That's not when I started listening to the gospel or gave my life to Christ. When I started studying, all right, is 87. I read a few books, 86, but 87 was when I moved into a circle of people that read scriptures. Okay? They read, they thought that is the Word of God was their life. Okay? So, we read books different ways. I bought less than 10% of the books that I read. Either somebody has bought it, or we photocopied it, or we borrowed it from somebody. It was later on in life when I became older, I now could take my money and go and buy serious materials. Before, we could manage to buy a few pamphlets. So all the books I read were not mine. Well, not maybe not all. Most were not mine. So that's how I grew up. So when I started writing books and preaching messages and recording, Holy Spirit said, has your philosophy changed? I said, how can it change? So you can now punish me in 9 areas. No. So as soon as we started, I put the thing out there. Everybody, please, if you can download it, download free. Download. We kept on making it available for people before internet connection became this cheap. All right, we'll pack one DVD and put 100 messages inside. And when we hear the cost, like what? Yes. Okay, that's the reason. Now, please back to the thing I'm saying. So please go and read the book, Guided by the Spirit. Please go and read that book, Guided by the Spirit. Please, I beg you. Why am I saying this? Because a lot of people who tell me they hear their spirit and they think it's God. It's not God. It's not. You have to purify your heart. You have to purify your motives in life. You have to purify the things that you desire. That's how people hear God correctly or not hear. It's not whether you heard a voice or didn't hear a voice. Few people were more accurate than Balaam in hearing from God. They could approach God's throne and have God speak to them directly. Yet Balaam heard God and he was wrong. Was not God that spoke to him? God said, to the crafty, I show myself crafty. I told him, don't go. He went and told them, I can't come. They brought more money. He came to meet me. So, what's the point? I will change my mind because of money. Basically, he loved money. The love of money affected what he had. Please, I keep on begging Christians. Because sometimes we sit down and say we want to hear God. Now, let's begin to pray. We'll now sit down. Everybody, let's pray. Pray in the spirit for 10 minutes. Hey, clap, baba, yaba. I love baba for 10 minutes. Now, everybody, quiet. What's your spirit saying? Your spirit cannot say more than your values are. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It's your value system that determines what your spirit will say. It's not how quiet you are. You may be quiet outside. Your heart is locked up with values. And what God is saying cannot filter past those values. It can... No, listen. Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you. I'm looking at you like this, but I can't say them to you because you can't hear them. I've heard people quote me before and I'm amazed. That is like, what? How did you hear that from what I said? One of our brothers said something once. It actually caused a disagreement between us. He said he heard me preach that the tither must pay, a Christian tither will pay at least 11%. Like, when did I say that? We were having this argument, something led to it. And he was accusing me of having changed over the years. I said, me? He said, I taught him to tithe. Me? I had to tell him that. I know the message you are referring to. I told him the cloth I wore that day, and I'm talking about over 30 years ago. I told him I was wearing this color, white. I remember the material. I even told him the color of the embroidery and the type of embroidery. No, God helps me remember some things. I said, so I'm telling you this so that you know what I preached, that I remember it. And I remember clearly what I said. what I said that day. I stood in front of the congregation. This was long ago. I said, how many of you believe that 10% of your income belongs to God? They put up their hands, almost everybody. I said, you are all thieves and robbers. They were confused. I said, okay, put down your hands. You didn't hear me clearly. They were not sure. I said, how many of you believe that 10% of your income belongs to God? And they put up their hands again. I said, all you that have your hands up are all thieves and robbers. What was my reason? I said, you have just claimed 90% of somebody else's money. As a Christian, you can't give God 10%. That makes 90% your own. That's not the agreement we have with him. So I now said, a Christian should practice giving by beating the tithers. I said, at least, you shouldn't give less than 11% of your income. At least be sure that you are beating those who are tithing. That was what I preached to. Somebody went around saying that Pastor Banky said Christians should tithe and their tithe should be at least 11%. When did I say that? That's the issue. You see, people's eyes can be so set. Ears can be so set. That's why I say, I tell people that, oh, this one my spirit. So, I was talking to your brother. He said, you know, God said, I said, don't go there. I told him, don't go there. I said, because if you do, I will end this conversation. I will not be able to speak with you. Because you cannot hear better than the strongholds in your heart. I've given this example before. If God said to me, Banky, I used to live in Lagos, so I came to Enugu. He said, Banky, move to Enugu. There's no guarantee I will hear that for 20 years. It depends on where I can go to in my heart. If I'm so strongly, and I've never been to Onitsha in my life, I've never been to Eastern Nigeria. Anytime I see somebody from the East, I'm looking at them funny like, are you from Nigeria? That kind of attitude. The only thing I will hear, that's just the way it plays. My spirit will be pulled towards Enugu, but my heart will not let it go beyond Sagam. So I'll come to church and say, the Lord has called my wife and I, we are moving to Sagam. And God said, fine. He's mindful that we are both flesh. He's very patient. And while we're in Sagam, we'll be there for like 2 years. That pool is still there towards Enugu. Then one day we'll be praying in the morning. I'll feel something pull. I said, sweetheart, do you feel that? She says, yes. What are we doing? I think it's not Sagam God called us to. It's Benin. Then we'll apologize to the brethren in Sagam. I'll move to Benin. Say, the Lord said to us, come to Benin. God will be telling the angel. You will know I didn't say anything like that. Gabriel will say, we know. Say, the deafness of his ears is why he's hearing these funny things. Jesus said it like that. In the beginning, it was not so. But because of the hardness of your heart, Moses told you, do this. Then while I'm in Benin, 2 years will pass. This is now me, by now it's up to 6 years I left Lagos. Then somebody will say, why does your wife not go and do her business? Because maybe she was going to Lagos. See, Onitsha is closer now. Onitsha. Because that bridge is the point of no return, as far as I'm concerned. Anybody over that river Niger is overseas. And someone else said, no, now it's not that bad. I go there all the time. Okay, let her follow me. He said, no, I can't let my wife go by herself. Then I called the two of you so that I will keep my wife safe. Only for me to get to Nigeria. And I see normal Nigerians. I see normal people. I even see the cars. They have Nigerian number. Then, you see what I'm saying? My stronghold is being what? Broken. Then one day, a very good friend of mine will say, his grandfather died. We should go and bury. And he said, where? He said, it's Oka. Where is Oka? Say, just after Onitsha. So I pass Onitsha, get to Oka. Then we go off Oka, enter one of the villages, and we sit down there. We party the whole day because our friend's grandfather died. Then we finish, we enter a normal Nigerian road and go back to Benin. Then one day my wife and I will pray again. Now the stronghold of crossing the Niger has been broken. The stronghold of going beyond Onitsha has been broken. Then we'll be praying. I said, sweetheart, do you feel that we are where God says we should be? And she says, no. Something in me says we are supposed to go past Onitsha. Then we pack our load and finally come to Enugu one day. We will now say, God said we should come to Enugu. God said, I said this thing 8 years ago. It's not that your ears open enough to be able to hear it. But I was patient with you. I took it with you. I trained you bit by bit until you got to this point. That is why I'm not impressed when people tell me God said to me, sometimes you're too deaf to hear what he's really saying. Many times you are hearing what you want to hear. And who said it to you, we don't know. For example, now it's still in question who spoke to Balaam the second time. You say, was it not God? How do we know? Why did God try to kill him? God said he can go. Is that not what he said? Then the same God stood on the road by his angel, said, if you cross here, I will kill you. No, think it. Have you ever thought about it like that? God spoke to Balaam. He said, you can go. Then he was going. An angel stopped him and said, if you cross here, I will kill you. What was God saying? That second thing you heard was what you wanted to hear. It was not what I was saying. Anyway, you are here. Go and do this for me. Why am I saying all of these things? People of God, how does Satan maintain his hold on this world? It is by wearing out the saints with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. He doesn't allow them tarry enough in their walk with God to be granted the title faithful. Faithfulness is not something you get in 2 days. Called, 1 second. Chosen, few minutes, few hours, few days, few months, maximum. But faithful. Oh, Father in heaven. Sometimes 20 years, you've not been called faithful. You know why? Because you have not been faithful. Faithfulness is tested. I like the testimony of Kenneth Hagin. 12 years or 13 years after he started preaching, the Lord said, now you are entering into... Then when you left your last church, you have been preaching, you have been in ministry for 12 years, that you entered into the first phase of the ministry that I have for you. He said, wait, excuse me, I've been a preacher for 12, 13 years. God said, yes. What are you saying? He said, that at this particular point, after you have been in ministry for about 12 years, you entered into the first phase of the ministry I have for you. I was like, what? 12 years? I thought I was preaching. So yes, but you have not entered phase one. Faithfulness is not something you do overnight. It takes time. It takes time. And I'm saying to you, this is where God has a... No, let me put it this way. This is where the Lord Jesus has a serious problem. You know, when I was a young man, and I heard that Abraham worked with God for 25 years, you know, before he had Isaac. And I'm like, God, that's a long time. That's a really long time now. I don't say that anymore. Do you know why? Sometimes I look at my wife, it's hard for me to believe I've known her for over 25 years. And we've been married for almost 20 years now. Almost 25. In a few months, that's why I'm looking like, what? So Abraham's walk with God was not as long as I do. Because right now, I don't even think, oh, yes, this guy that I met yesterday. That's what goes on in my mind. I don't know whether I get my point. I tell people sometimes, they tell people, say, oh, where are you from? I say, well, naturally, I'm from Ondo State. Hey, are you in Enugu? Hey, how are you finding Enugu? I say, hey, relax. I've been here for 24 years. The eyes will pop. So don't make it look like you came to Enugu 2 days ago. Do you like it here? I said, hey, chill. I came here September 2000. It will be 24 years this September in a few months' time. I said, so, no, I meet people all the time. I said, met one a few days ago. Hey, okay, no. I said, okay, I'm very chill. When I came to Enugu, you were sitting in primary school. So don't even make it look like, I know Enugu more than you. After all, you were inside one village in Udi, where this boy went to marry from. You never came into town. I've been here for so long. Why am I telling that story? So 25 years to be called faithful. It's not exactly a long time. You may look young. Of course, when you are 20, 25 is longer than you have been alive. So it looks like a long time. Okay? But now you look back and say, no. It takes a long time. And you won't even know when God will look at you and say, you have been faithful. So what you just do is set up, make up your mind to live a faithful life. Now let me say this. Irrespective of what God gives you or does not. Did you hear what I said? Because that's the major area. Paul said, Demas has departed from me. That is what the problem is. People think that if I serve God for 10 years, you do this for me in the 15th year or something. That is what the problem is. People think that if I do this one for God after some time, you know, like I keep on saying, those who are in ministry, please listen. One day, one man went to Winner's Chapel. He went to Canaan land. He said, wow, this is meaning. These people are conquering. There's nothing we are doing in Enugu. Now, looking at him, like, say, those people are the ones doing ministry. There's nothing we are doing in Enugu. Now, please, this is not an indictment on anybody. I'm not mentioning anybody. All right? That is why a lot of preachers, they relocate. Yes. That is why. Because, you see, there's one man, and I was talking to Pastor Craig yesterday. 2 days ago, we were talking about some things. I won't mention names. So he mentioned one particular man. I said, yeah, know him. I even attended a wedding. One of our sisters married in his church years ago. So he said when that man was in, he mentioned one northern city in Nigeria. I won't mention which one. He said that man shook everywhere. Everywhere he went, the land shook. He had honor. He had everywhere. So I said, what happened? He said, one day he packed and he located to Lagos. He said, by the time I got to know him, the name was just an average name. It wasn't a big deal. He said, I did not know him when he was in his glory. He said he shook cities. Any town he went to shook. Everybody knew he was coming. So when I knew he was passing in the church, normally I went for the service in the church. It was not a surprise. It was not a big church. So he said, especially you know he has died. I said, yes, I know he died quite a while ago. And I have a conviction. In fact, the way we spoke is as if he left the place of his calling. Why do people leave? Now, please, I'm not saying your pastor that moved to Lagos, he has lost anything. Maybe those supposed to stay, maybe I'm supposed to have moved to Lagos. I don't know. So I'm not trying to, please, people don't be judging other people's things. I don't know. All right? But there are some that I think God has given me understanding. I don't mention names so that you don't spread. This person I'm talking about is not even alive now. The major reason is because we have a wrong thing in front of us. That's why I keep on, please, I know that a lot of the times I'm preaching, I'm giving messages to preachers. I keep on telling people, a private jet is not a sign of ministry. It's just the way you fly around when you have the money. You can use it to fly out of your destiny. Please, with all due respect to the dead, the big man that died recently in Nigeria, all right? You know the story. It was because he had the money to do those things. He was going to attend a game that a ticket is $5,000. He didn't go the normal way. I don't know whether he flew first class to get to where he was going. Then he boarded a private helicopter, chartered. I have nothing against him. When Miles Monroe died, he died in a private plane. His pilot made a simple error. He did not notice there was a crane. He was just landing and the tail of his plane chipped a crane. Knocked the plane out of balance. Killed the man and his wife. So I'm not trying to speak bad of anybody. So I'm just going to say, look, don't even think that is ministry. Because there are people who are preaching. When they say a man of God land in a private jet, they will now come to church and they're angry. Just be angry that the people in this city are not serious. Look, there is no method. Please, preachers, you are the ones I'm talking to. There is no method for building a church that's 10,000 members. There's no method. If anybody has a method, tell them the person I said is not true. They say multitude follow Jesus Christ. Multitude also crucified him. I hope you're aware of that. And neither did he ever trust the multitude. Go and check it. When he preached the truth, did they not all run away? Left with only 12 who had nowhere to go. Amongst the multitude, his disciples were always a minority. The disciples went to him and said, why are you speaking to them in parables? They knew they were not a part of the them. And Jesus made it clear to them, they did not come here to learn anything. They are looking for miracle and for free food. Listen, let me say this to you carefully. Be careful what you ask God for. Because he has this habit of granting things. Even when they won't bless you. If you harass him too much, he'll give you anything you're looking for. But one thing you cannot dictate to him is what that thing will bring into your life. Did you hear what I said? See, let me explain it again. If you sit down here and you start asking for an aircraft so that God will have peace in heaven again, he will give it to you. Somebody will actually drive it to your front door if it was possible. An angel, and give you the key. Say, can we have peace now? But if that thing will ruin your family, it will. If it will end your ministry, it will. God will not give you the ability to pray the consequences away. When the Lord came to Solomon, ask me for anything. You can't tie the consequences. Consequences are irredeemable. What I'm trying to do, they cannot be separated. You can't say, God, give me water, but I don't want to get wet. He said, what is wrong with you? How am I supposed to separate wet and water? I know I'm God, but I will not do this one. He said, let the rains of heaven follow me. God said, there's no problem. You shall be wet with the dew from heaven. He said, no, I like my cloth. It's designer. You know, I don't like, don't get me wet. He said, then leave the rain out of this thing. Just by the way, please. I say some things that don't concern me, but I will say it. I don't know why I just feel like I have a message for message all the time. I believe she was falsely accused because of people just want to pull, you know, cliques and all of that. And she and her husband are suing and all of that. I tell people, say Mercy, when your husband buy you motor, you put on social media, this is what happens. When you turn yourself to a social media celebrity, this is what happens. You know, I've been telling you for a long time, live this celebrity life is not a good life. Why should you be snapping? You know, like, there are some things, let me just teach you, there are some disciplines you must learn. You have a new car, it should never be seen on Instagram. Drive your car in peace. Your husband buys a diamond with him. You put it and put it on your status. Your head is not correct. So guess what? It's 25 carat diamond. And I'm seeing it on your Instagram page. I will call you and say, put that thing down now. What do you think you are, Kim Kardashian? Why do we let the world teach us things? Who cares about the price of your sunglasses? There are certain things you shouldn't get involved in. They are literally things of the world. Showing off my husband bought me a new Bentley for my birthday. We don't want to know. If we know, we'll steal it. Let paparazzi be the one carrying your life. Look, remember that our guy? He said whether I could model his clothes for him. I said, tall reverend is laughing. Because he knows. I said, I don't do such things. That's what people did to Pastor Bimbo. I said, you won't do it to me. The guy came one day and said, I said, if that ever comes from your mouth again, I will pray to God and he will remove skill from your hand. And I'm not joking. That's when he left me alone. And I wasn't joking. I would get on my knees and say, God, damage this boy's fingers. He will never sue anything again. Because I know the importance of the grace upon my head. And I said, you know, pastors, you are not social media, you are not influencers. You are not social media, I'm looking at that word. Celebrity, you are not a celebrity. You are just a preacher. If people decide to celebrate you, it's their problem. It's your birthday. Please, your new motto, we don't want to see it. Show it to your friends and family. That's one thing I like about WhatsApp status. Only your inner caucus will see it. Only those who know you personally. Don't put it on Facebook. That's how you give people to talk. To be talking. There's one man of God once, they bought him a jet. You know what pained him? They went and put it on. The man, he didn't want, if I wanted to give it back, they take, I don't want. If you want to, why can't you just give me in peace? Now it now became talk nationally. Why? Why did you have to call cameramen? Give me the key and all of you go home. When you turn yourself to celebrity, when they now start giving you celebrity treatment, you now start getting angry. I've told all those of you that sing for us in church, you are no more anointed than us. Did you hear what I said? One day I was saying, remember I said that you should encourage those who are singing. I said, those of us who are preaching. The guy was saying, so that if we sell table now, we should give them money. I said, hey. I've started a church. How much do you sell table? So why is it now you're singing, I'll not sell table. I'll not buy table for four. Let me tell you the truth. I would rather buy front row to hear preacher. Nonsense. You're not a celebrity, you're a minister. Okay, now?
Yes, sir.
How do we get there? Anyway, I'm talking about why people are not faithful. You can't serve God giving you conditions of things he will do for you after a certain time. You can't do that. You cannot do that. If you want to serve, don't be serving that after some time your church will be big, you two will be flying private jet. That's not ministry. Private jets for those who have private money, who are going to private places, and who it will benefit them to get there privately. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And there are people like that. But it's not a sign of success in ministry. If you just calculate it, I don't think Paul would have had a private jet. I know it didn't exist then, but did he have a private boat? Nothing wrong with having it, but it's like, I'm just trying to say, don't say, because what happens, this is why people are abandoned. Now, let me say this. That this is me, where I wanted to start from, but let me get there now. Have you read the Bible today? What did we read? Okay, yes, Daniel, okay, yes. They called the chosen and the faithful. Faithfulness is achieved over time. Faithfulness is not done overnight. Faithfulness will take years. You cannot be faithful except in the place of your assignment. You cannot be judged faithful anywhere apart from the place of your assignment. Everybody in life has an assignment. There is nobody, no child of God that does not have an assignment. You are not faithful, except that is what you are doing. I hope you're getting my point. Every assignment has a specific location. I'm a preacher in Enugu. If I am not supposed to be in Enugu, maybe I'm supposed to be in Awka, or Abakaliki, or Port Harcourt, or even Abuja, or Kano. I'm not considered faithful if I'm in Enugu. I hope you're getting my point. Now, please, this is not just about preachers. Please, I need to get into this properly. Every child of God, I said something last time, this mountain that's filling the earth is like a building that the Lord has planned as an architect. I hope you're getting my point. As an architect, he has, the model is out there. The details are there. So, he has allotted each person to the portion of the building that he's supposed to build. General rule for everybody. You must be, one way or the other, contributing deliberately to the advancement of the gospel on the earth. I need to say that again. As a matter of course, compulsorily, every child of God must deliberately be contributing one way or another to the advancement of the kingdom of God on the earth. Deliberately. Not by accident. Not because you went to one church and they brought a fire brigade preacher to come and collect money from you. It must be deliberate. You ask yourself every day, how am I contributing to the advancement of the gospel? I say this again with conviction in my heart, that if Nigerian Christians wanted Nigeria to be converted for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ to prosper in every corner, every nook and cranny of this nation, God will have done it long ago. Like he said, I will have long ago subdued your enemies under your feet, if only you have hearkened unto me. I don't have a shadow of doubt in my heart concerning what I'm saying. And last time I gave an illustration. If you went to a church in Enugu of today, a church, a typical, maybe church that has 500 people. Let's assume it's not a student church, church where most people are workers. And you say Enugu government created a layout. And they're selling one plot of land, 700 square meters, 1,000 square meters. And they're selling it for 3 million naira. And that members of this church, because you know, you want to give them the opportunity to buy 100 plots, and there are only maybe 400 plots. Church members, please, 100 plots, let's try and buy. 3 million naira, 100 plots. A church of about 500 people, most of them are workers. Please, how long do you think it will take us to raise that money? By the end of service, 100 plots, gone. Some people will buy 10. They are just 30 million. A lot of people will buy one. Now, most who will buy, I hope you know, they didn't have the money. They rush to go and borrow. They're on the phone immediately calling their friends. They're on the phone immediately calling relatives, calling friends, calling people. Please, please, guy, please, guy, opportunity, guy. And you see a nice picture of the layout, how it's going to be, where the church will be, where the game center will be, where the schools will be. Ah! There's not one building yet, though. But at least you've seen the road. Hey, 3 million. When you know how much land is going for in Enugu, and this is a government area. People of God, before the end of that service, we have wiped out the 100 plots. And we're even begging the guy that, do the rest of the world need to know about the balanced 300 plots? We just give us time. Now, we have finished that service. Next service. Bring missionaries from Sokoto, Borno, Lagos, Calabar, that's Rivers. Okay, let's add Adamawa and Oyo, you know, just to put different corners of Nigeria. Say we need 300 million naira to push this gospel. We are going to send 100 missionaries to these areas. We want to put them on salary for the next 3 years and equip each one of them with a motorcycle. And there's money to build a small hall, you know, and all of that. Brethren, we need 300 million in that same church. Please, let's not deceive ourselves, okay? How long do you think it will take us to raise that money?
Forever.
Let's just summarize it like that. Igote. If you see 2 million at the end of that service, you will thank God. Pastor will come next week with that message. After 2 years, if he does not bring somebody to promise us heaven, to show us how many souls we'll go with, how they will give us a decked throne in heaven, that money is not showing. Look, let's be honest, that money is not coming anywhere. The person has to come and say, ha, somebody has been believing God for something. If you saw right now, God is going to do 3 times what you wanted to do for him. Oh, your money that if you give 1 million today, by next week I see $1 million. Who wants to change his money? There is a security against the regulation of power. So into this, God would never allow power to go down in your heart. That is the only time we bring out the money. The guy who was selling us land, he didn't see any. He just said that, look, there's land for sale. Oh, after 2 days, it'll be finished. And we'll buy 100 plots for 3 million naira at the end of the service. Give us 24 hours, we have paid for everything. But to get us to pay to advance the gospel, the pastor has to lie. I keep on using that illustration to let us know that we don't believe. If we truly believed, if our eyes are seeking the things that are above, if we truly believe that this earth will pass away, but that our Lord will return one day and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, if we truly believe that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the ends of the earth, and without us it will not be preached. If we truly believed that Jesus died for that cause, if we truly believed, we'll find that 300 million naira quicker than when we're using to buy land. We'll find it quicker. I'm using that one to illustrate the fact that the hand of the Lord is not shortened. That's not why we have not taken over this land with the gospel. The main thing is that we don't believe enough. And he's not angry. He just wants us to know. That's why I said what I said. Everybody, we must be deliberate. How am I deliberately participating in the advancement of the gospel
of God on the earth, in the building of the kingdom of God, in establishing the growth of that stone into a mountain that covers the earth. How?
It's a question we must all ask. But again, like I said, the focus for today is supposed to be the fact that you have a specific role to play. The Lord will serve. Listen to me, let me say this about him. One day, he will call you and say, you, sit down. No, stand up. You will be sitting down. You will stand in front of him and you will give account. I feel sorry for when people will say things like, you know, Nigeria is a difficult place. And then Jesus will say, which warfare has ever been a simple one? I sent you out as a soldier. You are telling me it was difficult. Was it supposed to be easy? If it was easy, would not have sent Davido and Wizkid to go there and be playing for everybody? Why did I tell you to put on the full armor of God? Is that not supposed to tell you it's supposed to be hard? Ah, he said, woe to them who are at ease in Zion. Are you supposed to be looking for ease in life? Is difficulty not supposed to let you know you are at war? Why do we like to desert the army? Please, I wrote a book again. I recommend it. Don't quit the army. I think that book is very important for everybody to read now. Don't quit the army. But what I want to emphasize is that the Lord is coming to ask everybody one day. Look. One day he is going to appear. There are two appearances of his. One is final judgment, which says, people say that sow a seed, tomorrow God will repay you. God does not repay until the final judgment day. Say, so if I give today, won't I get tomorrow? If you give today, if God gives you more money tomorrow, you know what it means? You know what it means? More work, more giving. Go and give some more. The reward is in the last day. It's not now. God is not rewarding any Christian now. What you are doing is that you are being proven faithful so he can step you to the next level of ministry. Joseph is my best example in that regard. You cannot call elevation into the throne of Egypt when he became prime minister, reward. Unless you're a corrupt person, that is not the reward. Look, if there's no corruption in your soul, some of these things we are shouting over, is not the reward. Let me give you an example. If there's no corruption in you, if they appoint you a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, there's nothing like congratulations. What will have told you that, we thank God for the opportunity given you to serve. We are going to set up a prayer team. We promise to be praying for you every week. We will meet together, either virtually or physically, at least 30 minutes every week. We'll pray for you until the end of this administration. We know the work you have to do. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, don't tell the man to come and wash. Why should he come and wash problems? I hope you know, if he never went into that office, he won't make it into the newspapers. Nobody will be checking, did he pay tax? How old really is he? All this, that your life will be exposed all of a sudden, is because they appointed you a minister. Suddenly, if your wife mistakenly goes to buy an expensive wristwatch and we snap it at the airport, say, you know, it's on the cover of Sahara Reporters. They've checked it. It's an Odoma Piguet. This model is $100,000. Even though we all know, say, a fake way you buy for the back of mandilas, and they put that thing on the newspaper, you can't even come out to say it's fake. I hope you're getting my point. They will tear you to shreds. The house you built 10 years before you were appointed, they went and repainted it, Okwari. They will photograph it. Where our ministers are living these days. What is going on in this country? You know, after a while, you just do like our president. I don't go to social media again. They abuse the hell out of me. The troubles you did not have until they gave you an appointment. Do you get what I'm trying to explain here? Listen. That's why you don't tell people like that, Congress. It's a responsibility that is heaped upon them. What's the point I'm making? Every one of us has the responsibility that God has given.
Everyone, every single person has the responsibility that God has given him or her. And you must be doing it. One day, he's coming to ask you. Please, I hope you hear what I said. Let me say this to you again. The whole building might collapse if you don't do your portion. Let me explain. I can be here preaching and preaching year in, year out, sending it out. At the end of the day, God will say, Banky, you tried. The way we say in Nigeria, you don't try. He said, look, but I've not seen the result I'm supposed to see. He said, yeah, you know, you did your part, but you see the other guys on this side, they've not done their part. So have I labored in vain? No. There are two sides. One, I will give you your proper reward because you were faithful. All right? Then I will keep your earthly work in the freezer until the other people are ready. Don't worry, don't be wasted. It's not a teaching you did. We'll unearth this your teachings. I'm going to shut it down now. Don't be angry. Nobody will hear of you for the next 50 years. In the 51st year, I'll bring out one of your messages. And I'll bring out some young people who will rediscover them and start preaching them again. By that time, this other side, they will be ready. So, let's say the next 225 years, you finally see the result. I'm like, what? So what do you want me to do? Lord, say, wait. Should I destroy everybody? He said, no, don't destroy everybody. Good, so we have to wait for them. No, he said, Pastor Bank, are you sure? Yes. Did Caleb believe God? Yes. Did Joshua believe God?
Yes.
So they went into the promised land ahead of the other people?
No.
40 years, these two men of faith suffered like everybody else in the wilderness. Like everybody else. These guys did not disobey God one moment. But for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. I'm talking about being soldiers of the cross. Everybody, look, see, this is the attitude I wanted to have. Just say, without me, it will not be complete. Just tell yourself that. That without my doing my part, it will not be complete. You must look, and I want you to have this. Take it to prayer, like God. Look, please, let's get it clear. What am I supposed to be doing on this earth? Because this world, everybody's always giving you their own agenda. Your father will give you their own, his own. Your mother will give you your own, her own, sorry. Your uncles think that, you know, you are the first. There's one guy, some of you may have stumbled into his teachings. He's such a blessing. He's a young man. He's in a place called Erua, somewhere in Western Nigeria. I don't know whether he's. Where is that, Olainga? Is he Ogun or? Eh? No. This is other. Okay, I think it's Oyo State. Okay, from what Egbon is telling us. Okay, the young man, please. One of our sisters shares his mind. He writes beautifully, very inspiring messages. A young guy, all right, that he writes. I've forgotten what he studied in university. He's a university graduate. His parents are believers, Christians. So they've been praying for their hometown. They are from Erua there. And they've been praying. Right? Like, God, please, you know, send laborers into the harvest field. Send laborers into the harvest field. Send laborers into the harvest field. Then this young man, thank God for godly parents and children that follow the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this young man, after he finished NYSC, he felt God called him to go back to his hometown to go and start ministry. I don't know whether it's a church or a teaching ministry. The issue now, how do I tell my parents that after all the years they spent educating me, I'm coming back to this, our small town. I don't know how big the town is. If you are from there, please, I don't mean any insult. And go and start ministry. I don't know what I get my point. Well, I mean, young people, you're supposed to go abroad, do a master's, get a job with international or Texaco is also okay. Or, sorry, Microsoft. Or you can go and teach Facebook security. That's what you expect. But the young man went back home and told his parents, after praying and fasting, and said, God, let them not kill me. But I love his parents. God blessed them. Because they sat down, he went home and talked to them and explained that he feels called of God to come back home and from that place start teaching the word. So the parents said, okay, they've heard. Then they called him back later and said it didn't cross their mind that God will answer their prayers of years from their own household. So they blessed him that they had been praying. But you know, it never crossed their mind that God will select one of theirs
I thank God for parents who are willing to accept that. That you don't have to fly away. Like your friend said, if my son comes back to this country, heads will roll. Like your own friend said, leave us to die. Go abroad and go and make an OPIC name for yourself. What's OPIC? Upper. You know there's roost and upper. Naomi told upper, go and take care of yourself. Don't worry about me. And upper went and disappeared. And Ruth said, no, let's go and suffer together. Let's go and suffer together. And now, we're talking about Ruth. We're talking about Boaz. We're talking about Obed. We're talking about, what's the name of the other guy? Is this Simon? There's one more guy. Before Jesse. I mentioned Boaz, there's one person. Salmon. Somebody said Salmon. Yes, I think so. They were talking about Jesse, and we're talking about David, and we're talking about Jesus. All of this because of one girl, a Moabitess. From a race that God placed a curse upon, that none of their descendants were entered into the temple until the 10th generation. You know, the reference told a story, beautiful story, that there were two doctors from one family, an older brother and a younger brother. The older one was called David Livingston. So he got up one day and said he's going to be a missionary, he's going to Africa. His brother, younger brother, said, no. Let me stay. I can't live that kind of life. Listen to this. I need to make a name for myself. The recruit says, is it not funny? The Encyclopedia Britannica. David Livingston has about sixteen paragraphs describing him. And the only line about his brother is that he's a brother of David Livingston. One line. One line that he got because of his brother. That did not go to make a name for himself. Whosoever will choose to save his life will lose it. Is the one that's willing to lose his life for my sake that will find it. Is the one that's willing to lose his life for my sake that will find it. Because of time, I won't open those scriptures now, but let me say this to us again. Before you were born, he knew you. Not only did he know you, he ordained you for a particular purpose. Listen to me. It's not just everything you do. It's not just anywhere you go. It's not even there. Look, people say, you go and check, who are you compatible with? There's no compatibility in marriage. There's nothing. It depends on where you are facing. Look, have you noticed that you and the pilots are compatible? Have you ever entered the plane and you and the pilot are not compatible? No, let's check it. Compatibility is about direction. Do you follow my point?
Yes,
look, the only person you are not compatible with is when you are facing different directions. I remember those when I was single. My senior brothers will look. If there's any sister I'm greeting, they are looking like, is this one ministry material? No, that's what they are looking on. In their mind, in Jesus' name, it will not happen. In Jesus' name, we forbid. Do you know, people used to do that for me, my sake. If I greet a woman three times, Mommy Ann has collected you. Come. Do you know that guy? You know his life? You know how he be? Just he look like this one. Can this one follow anybody into the jungle? If the answer is no, he will use tie to discourage you. Don't mind Banky. He's not a serious person. It's not about Banky. It's you. It's not that you are, it's you she's thinking is not serious. One day, Mommy told me to my face, Banky, don't even think about bringing a woman that we don't know. We will not agree. She told me flat, straight. No, like, it wasn't discussion. She said, hey, please, don't go near that one. If we don't know her, the answer is no. Ah. I said, now, wow. So I'm not even my own again. These people don't come. That we have to approve now. Ah, do you know the work we have done on you? You want to just waste it like that? You go and follow Jezebel to go one temple we don't know now. Now, should he add that one? I'm the one adding that one. No. It's not every woman you marry.
Yes, sir.
And forget this compatibility. Are you compatible? Why won't you compatible if you are going to the same place? Please, I finished my message, but I always like to add this one. I've told you, there's nothing like falling in love. There is nothing like that. See, It does not exist. Anytime you fall, what do you do?
Stand up. You arise.
You get up now. You can't just be falling and stay there. Say, well, I fell in love with him. That's a sign that it's not of God. It's not of God. If you fell, it's bad. Go and confess, sir, I fell. Sorry. Fell in love. Whatever is love or what it is for. Did you hear in your Bible that Isaac fell in love with Rebecca? They just said, is that my husband? Yes. They don't marry and finish him. You know, young people just get and be deceiving. Look, if you ever see any counseling session and the head counselor is not much older than those young people, just scatter the place. Throw it, smoke bomb inside, let them run away. See small children counseling smaller children. If you want to know about marriage, call old men, old women. To come. They've seen life. When they're telling you stories, they say, yes, I remember. That was about, 30 years ago, this brother fell in love with this sister. Two of them are now in the pit. They fell. All right. let them tell you real stories. Some people told some people here, I won't mention their name, even if they are wearing the same cloth. I don't know. But they said they are not compatible. How can you not be compatible if you are going to the same place? Once I was coming to Enugu, my wife was following. We are compatible. There's one pastor in Nigeria, I won't mention his name. He has caused a lot of problems for himself and other people. He used to preach that if your wife is facing America and you are facing Nigeria, just divorce yourselves and go different ways. You know what happened to him? His wife actually one day faced America and he faced Nigeria and they divorced themselves and went different ways. You know the truth? They are not compatible. Very rubbish doctrine, but that's really incompatibility. Both of you are not facing the same direction in God. I hope you're getting my point. See, Indians, Pakistanis, they marry without meeting the husband would not even know who the wife is. The father would just say, we are sending a wife next week. He say, yes, daddy. The way Victory is standing, maybe I'll do it to him one day. He say, Victory, well, I said, daddy, we're not in Bolivia. I say, okay, give me your address. Send the address. He said, there's one woman at the airport. Don't worry, I've already married. There's no need to, you don't need to do anything. Just, the case is Isaac and Rebecca. We have paid the bride, we have paid everything. In fact, there's a stamp on her back to show postage stamp. Forget all those nonsense of compatible. If you are facing the same direction, you will be compatible. And that's not supposed to be a joke. We have been laughing about something, but fact, if you are facing the same direction, you will be compatible. What causes incompatibility is depending. Have you ever seen a car that's not in alignment? Now, so the tire, one side of the tire will be brand new. The second side of the tire is threadbare. Why? Because the front tire, the left tire is going this way. The right tire is going this way. So the inner side of both of them will just grind. That is why, in case you have a car, please make sure they check your alignment regularly. Because your tires are not compatible if they are not facing the same direction. What am I saying? It is not even everybody you marry. That's where I'm going. God has appointed an assignment for your life. I'm going to end it here. But that's the high note I want to leave for today. God has appointed an assignment for your life. He has appointed where you will do it. You can't just choose where you like. When I see people just park sometimes, say, I don't like this country, I say, because things are not working well. I say, are you an idiot? Did they tell you I loved Enugu when I came here? In all honesty, you've heard my story. I had only been to Enugu once in my life before I made up my mind to come. And the day I came, there was nothing in the city to see because we were locked on the campus of UNEC. We hardly went out. Went out only once, went straight to GRA. One of our brothers said, there's one of our sisters that live near there, let's go and see her. So three of us went, and she made food for us, we ate, and went back. I can't remember seeing anything in Enugu. But when it was time, I don't know how I knew this, but since I was doing my NYSC, I had certain thoughts in my mind. Some of them were, there was a dream I had at the time, which I knew. I remember the dream vividly till today. So some of the signs that it was a real, prophetic dream. So I knew that, I didn't know I would be in Lagos, but I went to Lagos after that. But while I was in Lagos, I knew that after now, I will go somewhere. That is where the work of God that I'm supposed to do will start. So that kept me patient for some years. All right? And the Lord decided that, I didn't know this, but that I will marry before I start. So I met my wife towards the end of that waiting period, and we got married. By the time I got married in the end of 99, I did not know. It had not crossed my mind that I would come to Enugu. And I came to Enugu September 2000. I wedded December 99. When I was marrying this woman, I didn't even tell her, you know, we will live in Enugu. She had no idea. I had no idea. Nobody had an idea. We married and we're deciding, where do we go? First offer I had was, go to Ife. Somebody said, will you go to Ibadan? Then out of nowhere, my friend said, would you consider coming to Enugu? I'm like, for what? I didn't think about it. There are many of us know Venerable. He came to see me in Lagos. He heard I got married because we had gotten to know each other at that time. So he came to Luz. So he came to my apartment, knocked. Aha, Banky, congrats. I heard you passed your finance. I said, yes, sir. And you got married. He said, okay, so what's your plan? He said, why don't you come to Enugu? He was the second person. He's the first one I remember. It's my friend that reminded him that he was the first to say it. That reminded me later. I said, eh? So he came here and met a senior. There's one young guy in Lagos, just finished his training. We don't have a pathologist. I think we should employ him. So that man sent me a message one day. That, please, can you send me your CV and application? I did not tell him I wanted to come. Out of nowhere, he sent me a message. So my wife and I told my wife, let's take a drive to Ibadan. I needed to go and see my supervisor. All right? I had to do corrections of my project. So I got to Ibadan. So I took my CV, because Ibadan being the kind of center it is, you will find somebody from Enugu. So I gave one of my colleagues there, that, please help me find anybody going to Enugu. Tell them to give it to so and so person for me. So that's what I did. Then one day again, I got another message. Please, anytime you have the chance, come and pick up your appointment letter. It is ready. That, look, am I really going to this place? Am I really going? Because I was praying about it. We were praying about it. Then one day, one brother, long time, I've not seen this guy in years. We just stumbled to each other in Luth. So we just talked for some time. Then the gist dried up. So just trying to make gist, he just opened his mouth and began to prophesy. He didn't know he was prophesying. I remember I turned and looked at him like this. He just said, Kai, Enugu is a beautiful place. The kind of place a man would like to live in. So the kind of place, then it's a quiet town, like to raise children there. Then I was looking at him like, what spirit possessed this guy? I had not seen this guy, I'm not exaggerating, in nothing less than 5 years. He didn't know I was in a valley of decision like they say. So the moment he said that, it's as if God is saying, what other confirmation do you need? And I packed one day, entered a bus, and came to Enugu. My friend welcomed me. Next day, I dressed up, went to UNTH. So he took me to go and be that senior professor. Okay, so I saw the man on the corridor. So I just said, good afternoon, sir. I said, good afternoon. He said, yeah, this is Dr. Olushina. The man grabbed my hand with two hands. He said, you've made my day. He didn't believe I was coming. Look at the name now, Bankole Olushina. Yoruba men don't just get up and come to Enugu. And nobody transferred them. One day he joked with me one day. He said, why are you still around? I said, sir, I'm not going anywhere. He was so sure I'll stay maybe like a year and then leave. Maybe people do it. They come take a job. They have something else planned. I smiled at him. I said, sir, don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. We still see once in a while, it surprised him that 20-something years later, I was still here. What he did not know was I didn't come for what he's thinking. Yeah. Do you get the point I'm making? Yeah. I remember that day, my parents-in-law, we just got married. Like I said, we married in December. So one of those days, I don't know, maybe around April, you know, no, it was the middle of the year. They came to Lagos. So we went to meet them. We came for a wedding. So at the end of the day, they were just asking. So I now mentioned that we may be going to Enugu. My mother-in-law looked like, what? She didn't say anything. So I saw my mother-in-law pinch my father-in-law, like, talk to him. I saw her like, what? So my father now comes, hey, Banky, this ain't no good you're talking about. What is the... I can't remember the answer I gave him. They were like, what? Where did it come from? Then my mother came to Lagos around that time too, shortly after. And I said, I think we're going to be going to Enugu. She said, Enugu, Kilonjebe. Now those were her words. Literally, he says, Enugu, what is so called? Not where is that? He said, what is that? That is like, what is the concept? What is the whole idea about? Shoot everybody. I won the tutu. I came. That one I came, I went back. Then after that, I drove down next time. Came to Enugu. And I waited. I remember the day my wife came and joined me about, shortly after that, she got a job in UBA. All right? And that job was also an interesting one. The man who gave her the job, I went to his house. He just said, Vanky. She has finished saying YC at that time. How is your wife? Would she like to work with us? We don't pay much. Mama, is it more money with your family? God, no worry. It's okay. Give his brother-in-law. Say, give him her CV now. I said, okay, sir. Okay, sir. After he left, I brought it from my back pocket. He didn't know I came with it. I handed it to his brother-in-law, who's my friend, you know, one of our brothers. And that one gave to him. Then one day, my door just knocked around 10 o'clock. He brought the appointment letter by himself. He was a senior manager in UBA. He brought the appointment letter to my apartment by himself. I was surprised. He came by himself, gave us the appointment letter. So she had to now go to, is it a FESTAC or Satellite Town for training? By that time, I came to Enugu. So when they finished training, they said, okay, do you guys have any preferences? My wife just said, Enugu. They just gave her a transfer letter straight from Lagos. Go and report in Enugu. About 2 weeks after I arrived in Enugu, she also arrived. I'm telling you this because I never dreamt of... See, that is why, for me to leave this city... Oh, my Father in heaven. God has given a word. Occupy till I come. Stay there. So you have to understand that some temptations that tempt other people don't even come near my neighborhood. My own temptation is, will I stay in Okunanu or stay in GRA? That's my own temptation. Do you get my point? It's my temptation. My temptation is, are you going to move to this place near Enugu called the, well, Okemute and Co. Stay? You know that place? You know, that is the only temptation. But whether I'm going to park and say I'm going to Port Harcourt or going to Lagos, God has to come again by another word to say your time there is over. Listen, if you are bombing this city, I'll be the last to evacuate. That's what soldiers do. I have to say, Lord, this bombing, is it a sign that we are done? If it says no, please, can I carry my children to go and stay in Oka? Because for my faith's sake, I can ask questions like that. If it says no, I say, children, look, I won't ask him the next one. I'm building a bunker. Oh, yeah. Everybody, enter here. But before we leave, I need to get a word from above. And I'm not talking about the kind of word I get from my spirit. No, it has to be clear. Because no soldier deploys himself. No. And wherever you are deployed to, you stay there until the next signal comes. People of God, comfort is not allowed to drive you up and down. It is effectiveness in the work that God has given you. Can you bow down your head? I'm going to give you a minute. Just pray to God based on what you have heard. I won't tell you what to say. Just talk to the Lord based on what you have heard. If God allows us, next time we'll talk about how to possess the land. You must possess the land. That's what soldiers do. They take a territory and then they retain it. They take a territory and then they retain it. Just talk to the Lord. Remember, our God changes the past. Don't forget that thing. Why am I saying so? You may look back and realize where you made some mistakes. Go back and correct those points. It's still okay. In whatever regard, even if you think that the parameters you use for choosing mate was wrong, don't hide. Just say, God, I think. Now, it doesn't mean you don't love your husband, you don't love your wife anymore. Or not decide that she's a, am I the wrong person, so I'm getting a divorce. Nonsense. That's not what I'm saying. You are not, okay, I forbid you, you can't do that. But if the parameters were wrong, you confess the parameters to God. Then he will go back. He knows how he will do it and correct it. The same man, the same woman will become a different person. I don't know. That's why he's God. So how he does, I don't know. That is why he's God. That's why I'm not. That's why you're not. Sometimes the city you are in, also, Lord, the choice, I don't think it was right. This is why I say so. Lord, locate me correctly. It may be that you suddenly realize that you're in the right city and you didn't change this location. Or sometimes you'll say, okay, now that you have realized, get up and move to this other place. Or go back to where you left. That is where I kept you. He came to them and said, where are you? God always goes to where he kept you to look for you. He always goes to where he kept you to look for you. He ordained you for something before you were born. That's what he said to Jeremiah. That's what he said to Paul. Paul quoted it for us. And that is your own portion also. So just let me give you this prayer point. Say, Lord, whatever it is that you made me to be, help me to become that person. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we depart from here, I say the Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
The Lord will make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
He will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will lift up his countenance on you.
Amen.
And he will give you peace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you at home.
Amen.
It is well with you when you go out.
Amen.
The angels of the Lord will surround you and deliver you from all troubles.
Amen.
Healing is your portion.
Amen.
Let me pay a prayer of agreement with you. Every affliction, every trouble in your body, shake off now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pain in the head, any part of the head, including the nose, the eyes, the mouth, and the neck, the shoulders, the arms, the chest, the stomach area, the hips, the legs, every part of you. And in agreement with the word of God, we rebuke that pain in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We reject that affliction in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't care how severe it is. It can be as trivial as people say, as almost one blocked nose, or can be cancer or a stroke. All afflictions are subject to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we lift up that name over that affliction.
Amen.
He is a healer.
Amen.
Jesus the healer.
Amen.
Jesus the sacrifice.
Amen.
The resurrected Jesus is conqueror over all.
Amen.
Because he rose, we are alive now.
Amen.
Life fills your whole body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you quickly bless two people beside you? Under present, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. The last one for yourself, say, this is my season. Spirit and of the power of God. All right, cherub brethren. God bless you. Have a blessed week.